Please be seated. Let us pray. Eternal and loving God, we thank you for this beautiful day that you have given us. One more day in our life to be a blessing to this world and to honor your name. We thank you for the good health and strength you have given us to gather here in this church and also online to worship you, Lord. We thank you for the freedom that you have given us in this nation that many other nations don't have, Lord. We thank you for, and we are grateful for that. The opportunities and the freedom that you have given in this country, we thank you for that. We remember those who fought for defending our country, for our freedom and liberty by their dedicated services, and some of them ultimately paid the price with their lives, Lord. We thank you for their services, and we remember them at this time. We pray for those who continue to serve in the military and the police and the fire and various other services, Lord. We remember your servants with gratitude and the courage and the strength that they have, Lord. We pray for the leaders of our government, our president, vice president, and the cabinet members and the Congress leaders and various governors, Lord. We pray that you will give them the wisdom and the grace to do the right thing and to do good in the spirit of peace and justice. We also pray for all the national leaders of various nations around the world. We pray that your guidance be upon them, particularly in the areas of war-torn places, Lord. We pray that your guidance be there with the leaders of the countries, that they will make the right decisions that will bring peace to this world. We pray for all those who make decisions on a daily basis, that they will be guided by the power of the Holy Spirit. May the services of word and praise we offer today be to the glory of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. This is our greeting time now. If you are able, please stand up and greet each other in Christian love.
Good morning and welcome to the 4th of July celebration. We're first going to sing Battle Hymn of the Republic. Now we asked Jean to come join us today because we need more voices. So thank you, Jean, for joining us today.
Yes.
And then after that, I will announce also that we're going to have the Armed Forces melody. But Lou was supposed to do one of the solos today. She's not here. So the choir will be doing that second verse as a choir.
Thank you.
Join us on the chorus.
Everyone join us on the chorus of Glory Hallelujah. Ready?
Glory, glory,
Terry to stand in the army to represent his son, who is currently in the army. So when you hear your song, please stand.
Are we veterans to come?
No.
We're going to sing. When we sing, people who will sing.
Thank you, Wayne, for putting this together, that, you know, and honoring our veterans and also service members. And the surprising thing that in Spark Church, we have representation for every branch of the military here. So that is really good. And thank you for your services. and in the past, and
I
also
tried to stand up and I fell back.
Yeah, he's Air Force. Terry, let Ian know that we remember him and he's in our prayers.
I will, Pastor, and I'll be seeing him on Monday. I'll be picking him up
tomorrow. Oh, great. Okay, what a wonderful day. Okay, we'll do that. We'll do the responsive reading now. It is Psalm 106. We will read verses 1 through 12, which is on page 829 in our hymnal. If you are able, please stand and join the responsive reading. You have a hymn? Yeah, 829. Praise the Lord.
Oh, give
thanks to the Lord who is good, whose steadfast love endures forever. Who can utter the mighty doings of the Lord or show forth all God's praise?
Blessed
be the Lord, who do righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, when you show favor to your people. Help me when you deliver them, that I may see the prosperity of the chosen ones, that I may rejoice in the gladness of your nation, that I may glory with your heritage. Both we and our forebears have sinned. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Our forebears, when they were in Egypt, did not consider your wonderful works. They did not remember the abundance of your steadfast love, but rebelled against the Most High at the Red Sea. God saved them for the sake of his holy name, to make known the mighty power of God. God rebuked the Red Sea, and it became dry, and led them through the deep as through a desert. So God saved them from the hand of the foe, and delivered them from the hand of the enemy. And the waters covered their adversaries. Not one of them was left. Then they believed God's words. They sang God's praise. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. It is our prayer time now as we come before God, as a church family. We share our prayers of blessings and give thanks to God, and also share our prayers of concerns and burdens together and lift them up to the throne of grace of God. God's trusting in the promise that God will answer our prayers according to his time and his grace and his will. So let us share our prayers of blessings and concerns. The regular prayer items are listed at the back of the bulletin. Continue to pray for these items in our regular prayers. And I know Martha is online. I tried to reach you, Martha. Are you, did you get the results last week? How did it go?
No, I won't get them till the 11th, but I'm doing okay. I do have an eye infection, but outside of that, I'm okay.
Okay, we'll keep you in our prayers for that. Please keep
Martha. Thank you.
And please continue to pray for George Borges as he's recovering from his surgery. And also Jane Stuckey, that Robert shared, his neighbor, going through chemo. And also the family of Grace that passed away last week, Lou's family member. And they need to keep Harry in our prayers as he's going back to the dentist for his surgery of his mouth, that it will be successful, that we'll keep him in our prayers as well. Are there any special call-outs on this list or anywhere, anything?
Yes, I talked to Carl Smith about his wife, Kay. She's not doing real well. She went in for a portal a couple of weeks ago. The other young man lives over here at Flowery Branch.
Okay. Yeah, we'll keep them now. Prayers. Pray for Kay Smith. And also Tyler Dowdy. As I reminded you that Lou is feeling sick, so please keep her in our prayers as well. Let us continue to.
We have a blessing. We're going to be great grandparents.
Oh, another one. Great grandparents. So your granddaughter is going. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
She's 26.
That's four generations, right?
Yeah. That's one.
That's a blessing.
Just pray that everything goes well with it, you know. Because we really should be conceived, so.
That is great.
Pastor, I have a praise.
Okay.
I just would just like, you know, to offer, you know, a praise to all of the men in this congregation that have served their country, but also to those present men and women that are currently serving this country. I mean, we take for granted each and every day, you know, the fabric of freedom that they provide. Yeah. I just
want
to
give praise
to them. Okay. Amen to that. Let us keep all of the military members in our prayers. But it's not an easy task to be in the military these days. In the past, there were certain decisions that were they can follow, but now they're told one thing one day and then next day the other things, and it's very hard for them to serve the country, even though they are sincerely serving us. So please keep them in our prayers. All the military services, fire, police, and all those other services that serve us, continue to keep them in our prayers. Pray for our president and the leaders of all the nations around the world, particularly in Ukraine and Russia. And we know that our prayer will work. Please continue to pray for Putin and the Ukraine president, that they will come to an understanding and God can make miracles work, you know. So let us keep them in our prayers. A lot of people are struggling. So, and that God will bring peace to this world. You know, this weekend we are celebrating the Independence Day, but at the same time, safety has become a big concern in every city. And if you happen to watch the news, the shootings are happening on a regular basis. So let us pray that particularly today and tomorrow, that God's grace will be on the nation, that there will not be any violence. Please, please keep in our prayers. I've been praying for that, that we want to hear at least 1 month without a shooting, which is which is going to be something that we have to pray for. And God can do it. So it is up to us now to step up and pray on our knees that God will bring peace to this country. If there are no other special call outs, let us go to God in prayer, and we'll spend a few moments in silent prayer, and then I will close with a summarized prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, we come before you as your children, trusting in your faithfulness that has been with us in the past and today also. And we also trust for your future faithfulness because you have been faithful to us in the past. And we trust in your promises that you will hear and answer our prayers according to your time and your grace and your will. We come before you as your children because you send your son Jesus Christ to die for us so we could become your children and call you Father. So as children come to their Father, we know that you are earnestly listening to us. We lift up all those things that we have lifted here up, especially the blessings that we receive in our lives, the good health and strength that you have given us in our bodies, and all the blessings that you give us, Lord, financial, material, spiritual, all the blessings that you shower upon us. Even when we don't deserve them, you still love us and you still give us your blessings, Lord. We thank you for all the good news and the joys that we shared here today. Especially we pray for the good news that we heard about Teddy and Margaret. Bless them as the great grandparents and also the parents, the child that they are waiting for. We pray for a smooth and a healthy baby that we are looking forward to, Lord, and bless them as a family and give them your presence and your guidance during this time. We pray for all of our children at this time, Lord, that our future of the country depends on the new generation, that we will pray that they will be brought up in your grace and your knowledge and the fear of God during this time. We pray for all of those who are serving the military, particularly today, in various branches of militaries in various parts of the world, particularly in the war-torn areas and the internal fightings and struggles that are going around the world. We pray for all of those who are defending our freedom, sacrificing their own freedom and their own life at this time. We pray and thank you for their services and thank you for their families. Particularly, we lift up Ian, one of our members in the military now. We thank you for his services and pray for his protection and his safety. And I look forward to the family reunion tomorrow and bless them as a family with your grace and joy tomorrow. Bless all the families who are joining in from the military these days, that they will be blessed by your joy and your peace. We pray for our nation, particularly our president, our leaders, the Congress and the military and the fire, police, and all those services are serving us, Lord. We thank you for their services and bless them with your guidance and wisdom, especially the ones who are in power to make the right decisions that affect us on a daily basis. We pray for national leaders around the world, especially in the war-torn areas, that God, you will control them and give them the grace to understand that peace is more important than any struggles that they can have, any victories that they can rejoice. Help them to understand understand each other and bring peace among all these various parts of the world that have wars going on. We pray for all those whom we have lifted up, particularly the ones who are not feeling well in their bodies. We especially pray for Lou. Bless her with your healing, touch her with your healing hand. We pray for Martha as she's going back for the results, that your grace will be upon her and to have a good result, Lord. And we pray for the family of Grace as they're grieving at the death of their dear one. Bless them with your grace and your presence and your peace. We pray for Jane Stuckey and also Tyler Dowdy and Kay Smith as they're struggling with their health issues in various ways. We pray for your healing hand to touch each one of them, Lord. And we above all pray for peace in their lives and the peace in the lives of their dear ones during this time. We thank you for all of those who have been given healing, particularly George Vorgis as he's recovering. Thank you for the healing that you have started. Continue to bless him with patience and your grace that he will be recovered completely back to normal, Lord. We pray for Harry as he is waiting for his surgery in his mouth. We pray for your healing hand to touch him, that it will be a successful surgery that will be permanently fixed without any more issues or complexities or problems. We pray for all of those who are struggling with various problems like that in their health, in their bodies. And also we pray for those who are struggling with various problems in their families. We pray for your peace and your guidance in such situations, Lord. We pray that you will bless us as a church as we come here together to be faithful in the ministries of the church, that we can be faithful in whatever you ask us to do in this community and around the world, that the opportunities that you give us, Lord, help us to use them effectively and to be a blessing to this community. Bless us today, Lord, as we take part in the communion and listen to your word, that your name will be lifted up and each one of us will be blessed by your presence. And also touch us, Lord, as we take part in the communion, that it will be a blessing of life and spirit in us, that we will become a life and spirit and blessing to this world as we go from this place. May your name be lifted up in everything that we do here, and your people be blessed. In Jesus' name we pray. We pray the prayer that your Son Jesus Christ has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now the ushers may come forward to take up the offering. Loving God, we thank you for the gift of life and all the blessings that you shower upon us along with us. You are the source of all that we have and we are. We come before you with a portion of what you have given us, Lord. Use it and take it and bless it, and use it for the glory of your name and for the blessing of this world. Help us to understand that in Jesus Christ, you have given us more than we could ever deserve. And help us to be faithful in all the things that you have given us as stewards of your abundance, and the caretakers of all you have entrusted with. We thank you for all those who were able to give today, and we pray for those who could not give it today also. Cover them all with your love, and give them the grace in the days to come. May this offering become an aroma of blessing to your kingdom, and also to this community and around the world. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. As we remain standing, we will read the scripture. It is taken from the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 18, verses 1 through 9.
After David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. From that day on, Saul kept David with him and did not let him return home to his family. And Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing and gave it to David along with his tunic, and even his sword, his bow, and his belt. Whatever mission Saul sent David on was so successful that Saul gave him a high rank in the army. This pleased all the troops and Saul's officers as well. When the men were returning home after David had killed the Philistine, the women came out from all the towns of Israel to meet King Saul with singing and dancing, with joyful songs and with timbrels and lyres. As they danced, they sang, "Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands." Saul was very angry. This refrain displeased him greatly. "They have credited David with tens of thousands," he thought, "but me with only thousands. What more can he get but the kingdom?" And from that time on, Saul kept a close eye on David. These are the words of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray. God, we thank you for the gift of your word, which you have given us to experience us the power of Spirit in our lives. As we come before your word, we pray that you will give us an obedient spirit and a humble heart, that we will receive your word with humility and obedience. As we go from this place, that you'll stay with us, and we will practice that in our lives on a daily basis. Bless us with your presence today, Lord. Talk to me and talk through me, that your people can hear your word, that will become the power of the Holy Spirit in them. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The story of David and Jonathan, I don't know if many of you have heard that story, but you may have heard the phrase about the friendship of Jonathan and David. It was a close-knit friendship, which was an unlikely friendship that it's very hard to find in this world. It happened somewhere in the 11th century before Christ, when David was chosen to be the king after Saul. Saul was the first king that God gave the people of Israel, because they didn't have a king before that. And God wanted to be their king. And God told them several times, I am your king and follow my words. But they started complaining because the Egyptians have a king and Pharaoh. The other nations around them, Syria and all of them, have different kings and leaders, and we need some leadership. So finally, after their complaints through prophet Samuel was the prophet, and God was dealing with them through judges and prophets during that time directly and giving them his guidance through prophets and judges. But the people did not want that. They want political leadership. They want people's leadership. You know, we like democracy a lot because it's the power of the people. But there is a better way to rule, is God's kingdom, where God is the king and not people. Because we make a lot of mistakes. That's what we are suffering. But if God is our king, we don't have to worry about evil, because God knows when to intervene, and he will use the right people to do it. But like any other nations, they struggled. They struggled against their leadership at that time, and prayed to God for a king. So finally, God gave them a king, which was Saul. And prophet Samuel went and anointed Saul, but he didn't turn out to be a very good leader. And he was a coward many times, was afraid of the enemies, and he would not stand up for God's covenants and God's words. And that way he was straying away from God's path that they wanted to follow. That's when God wanted prophet Samuel to go and find a king. And God sent prophet Samuel to Jesse's house, a guy who was living there, and then asked him to anoint one of his sons. And he went there, and he had several sons. Jesse had several sons, and they were big and tall, and some of them were already in the military. But when Samuel went to Jesse's house and told them that I am here to anoint one of your sons as the king, as God told me. But naturally, the father Jesse told that he was going to be one of the older ones who are already in the military. They have the military training, and they are big and tall and well-built. So he brought his sons from older to the, and the first one came, and David said, no, God is not pleased with this one. Then he brought his second one, and God said, he's not pleased with that one. So he killed his third one, and they were all older. And then finally, Samuel said, is that all you have? Well, then Jesse said that I have one boy left, but he's a very young boy, and he's out in the fields. So he's tending the sheep. I don't think you want to anoint him as the king. And Samuel said, no, I am not going to finish my mission here until you bring him here also. So Jesse sent for the little boy who was in the fields, and he came. And lo and behold, God told Samuel to anoint him, a shepherd boy whom his dad and parents did not believe that he was going to make it. who was sent to tend sheep, was anointed as God's chosen one for the, to lead the nation of Israel after Saul. And Saul was still the king. And after all of this that happened, the Philistines started coming to war with Israel. And you know the story of Goliath. And Goliath was the big giant Philistine who threatened the Israelites. And he was saying curse words to the God of Israel day and night, challenging the Israelites to come forward to fight with him. And as you know, Saul was kind of a coward. He was afraid. And if the leader is afraid, and who is going to fight for a leader who is already afraid? So the military was not that prepared to go and face this Philistine or the Philistine attack. And then David heard about it. And David went to the war field, and his brothers were already fighting there in the field, and they did not like this little boy come up. But he went there and told his brothers, "Can I tell you something? I think I can fight this guy." They didn't believe him. I mean, nobody would believe him. He's a little boy. He said, "Yes, I can fight him." And then the brothers were mad at him for coming into the front, military front, from the leaving the sheep in the desert. So they didn't like it. But eventually he was presented to King Saul. And King Saul said, "Well, if you're telling me that, you know," he told him, "King, I have in the past, when I was tending sheep, there was a lion that came to attack my sheep. I fought with that lion with my hand and killed that lion." "Oh, that, if that's so." So Saul said, "In that case, go ahead and I will give you the charge to go and fight this Philistine Goliath." And you know the story. David went there, not with bows and arrows or swords or anything like that. He went there with a sling and five stones. Remember that story? And he went there and he challenged the Philistine Goliath, and he used his sling and hit him on the head. And with one shot, he killed the Philistine. And the Philistines were afraid because their leader was gone, and that he won victory. That is when Israel started, they gathered together and started singing praise for David, the little boy. And what did they sing? "Saul has slain thousands and David his tens of thousands." And, you know, Saul also had won victories, but he killed only thousands. And now the Philistines are gone. So the people were singing praises to David, a little boy, that Saul did not like to hear that song. He was afraid that David will take over his kingdom. So he started hating David from that point onward. And he wanted to kill him. And David had to run for his life. That is the background of the story. But even in the midst of all of these things, Saul, the king, had a son called Jonathan, who was in the palace. And he and David became close friends because Jonathan knew from the experience that his father was doing, he was not a good leader. And he was looking at David, how much leadership he has, and he can lead battles. And he already killed Goliath. And Jonathan knew that this was going to be God's chosen one. So he became friends with David. And we hear that David, from that day, Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Jonathan took off his robe he was wearing and gave it to David, along with his tunic and even his sword, his bow and his belt. What does that mean? King Saul's son, Jonathan, the natural follower of the kingdom to become the next king, Saul's son, now taking off his tunic and his sword and his bow and belt and giving it to David, a little boy. He's telling him that, "I know I am not going to be the next king. I know God has chosen to be the next king," and he recognized David. And that added to the anger of Saul. Saul became angry at Jonathan, and you know that Saul is already angry with David. There goes from downhill the leadership of King Saul, and eventually King Saul was killed in the Philistines along with his son Jonathan. And we see later on in chapter 23 and 24, David is lamenting for King Saul and his son Jonathan, because they were both killed in the war front by the Philistines. But the friendship of Jonathan and David kept on going through the times when Saul was trying to kill David. And David had to run for life as a young boy from the king. But Jonathan, who was in the palace, was giving word to David what plans King Saul was planning to kill David. So he would go and give the word to David so that he can hide or do whatever he wants to be in a safe place. So Jonathan and David became so much close in their friendship that they became an example of close friendship in this world. And the foundation of our friendship is the most important thing that I wanted to bring. What is the foundations of our friendship? Are we driven by our personal gains when we look for somebody to be a friend? You know, there is something called a WIFM. What is in it for me? WIFM. What is in it for me? Is that what drives our friendship? When we make friends with someone, or even when we make friendship with God, what can I receive from God? If I don't receive what I want, then God is not my friend. If I don't receive from my friend what I'm looking for, I don't want to be his friend. Is that the way we look at things? But Jonathan's and David's friendship was different. Jonathan gave his life. Even at the risk of his life, he loved David and worked for his safety whenever he could. Many of the proverbs and examples in the Bible teach us the importance of friendship. We read that in Proverbs 17, and we also read that in Proverbs 27. And we talked about the friendship or the relationship we had with, Ruth and her mother-in-law, Naomi, who did not abandon her even in the midst of their grief. So in Proverbs, we read that a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. In times of adversities, a real friend sticks closer than a brother. That is the kind of friendship that we saw in David and Jonathan. The golden rule about friendship is about the point is that whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. That should be the basis of our friendship. These things and common sense verify the importance of being friendly if you really want to have good friendship with somebody. A writer says like this: anyone who establishes a friendship for access to power, money, or other gains, when these ends are not attainable, the friendship ceases. Love that is not dependent on selfish ends is true love of the other person, since there is no intended end. King Saul had been changing for the worse over the years. Once he was a humble, obedient man of faith, Saul became arrogant, disobedient, and then he could not stand the praises that the people were giving to David. And then from then onwards, he became a failed leader that we see that he was killed later on by the enemies. Jonathan likely became the best friend for David because God chose them to be friends and do the right relationship that they had to do. But Jonathan and David had in common together. You know why they had that close friendship? Because they had a common friend together, their friendship with God, who will be there for you regardless of when or what happens in our lives. That's what we say, that we have a friend in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. And we are going to sing that song. God's friendship is not based on what he can get out of you. Many of times our friendship is based on what we can get out of God. If God can give me this, then I can be a good child in front of him. But God's friendship to us and relationship to us is not based on anything that he expects from us. He does not expect anything from us because we have nothing to give him. Our sinful life itself, we are not deserving of his love. But he loved us regardless of our condition, our situations. God said, never will I leave you or forsake you. We read that in Hebrews 13:5. Many times we have friendships that come and go. like you know, the fans and love that people have with their teams. When the teams win, they are becoming big fans. And when their teams lose, they don't talk about that much. Some of them abandon and go to the teams that win. That's what the world does. But that is not the friendship that God wants to have with us. He has a friendship that he develops with us. If we are sincere with him, he will not abandon us in the midst of hardship and bad times. Jonathan tried to reconcile Saul and David many times, but that did not happen. But God eventually anointed David, and David became the greatest king of history of Israel. We all have experienced times of loneliness in our lives. In certain seasons of life, we find ourselves not having many friends as we grow older. Especially in our senior years, many of our friends start going away from this world, and we find ourselves having not too many friends. But remember, there is a friend who is closer than a brother, and God is there, going to be there with us even in the seasons of our times. In a quality of friendship, about the quality of friendship, there is a book called Quality Friendship by a person by name Gary Ingrate, who wrote this book based on the experience of two soldiers in the Afghan war recently. And two of them were fighting side by side, British soldiers, each other in the Afghan war. During an enemy attack, one of the men was critically wounded and was unable to crawl back to safety from the front line. So the friend saw his friend was shot and he was struggling for his life. The other soldier decided to go and rescue him. But the sergeant of that company was very unhappy because his plan was that, you know, he's way beyond rescue. It is very risky to go and rescue a dying person. He's going to die anyway. So the sergeant said, "Don't go." And he gave orders of the group that nobody is going to go there during this time because of the situation at the front. But this particular friend, who was so sincere and united with this guy in friendship so much closer, he said, "I am going to break your command. I'm going to go against your command to help my friend." And he went over to the front line, taking a lot of bullets in his body, and dragged his friend back to the camp. By the time he was dead, and this friend was almost dead by the time he came back. And now one more person had to be tended to, and the sergeant was not very happy at all, because we have more soldiers injured and he has more problems in his hand. But then this friend said, the sergeant told him, "You broke my command. You went against my command. What a waste of time and money and energy. He's dead and you are dying now. It just wasn't worth it for our camp." Then this man told him, "Oh yes, Sergeant, I broke your command. But when I got to him, he was still alive. The only thing he said to me was, 'I knew you would come, Jim.'" That is the kind of friendship that God is asking us to do. What could better illustrate the truth of what Jesus Christ said when he said, "Greater love has no man than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." We read that in chapter 15 of John's gospel. And he continues to say that, "I'm not going to call you disciples anymore. I'm going to call you friends. A friend who is closer than a brother, who will not abandon you in the time of hardships and difficulties." So Jesus was accused of being a friend to tax collectors and sinners. And that's why he came here, to be a friend of the sinners, that he can love you and me and take us back to the kingdom of God as his children. And we are going to sing the closing hymn after the communion service, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Many of you have heard the history behind it. Joseph Scriven wrote this this song in the early 1800s in England. After graduating from the Trinity College in London, he was planning to get married to his love that he started dating at this college. But the day before the wedding, his fiancée drowned in a terrible accident. And devastated, Joseph left Ireland and England and moved to Canada, where he became a private tutor. Eventually, he fell in love with another girl and then decided to get married. But just a few weeks before their wedding, she contracted a pneumonia and she died. This shattered the man and shattered his faith. And he decided to abandon his job. And then he began to work for many charities to help people who are in grief. Heartbroken, he became depressed, but he started writing songs. And one of the songs he wrote was for his mother who was ill in England. And he wanted to go and visit her, but he could not for many reasons, because he didn't have money, he left his job, he was depressed. But he wrote this song and sent it to her that he could not join her. That is the song that he wrote, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." D.L. Moody, the great missionary who came across the song, was touched by the words, and he took that song and he gave somebody to give music to this song. And that's how it became one of the hymns in our hymnal. So that is the background of this song. I just wanted to tell you the history of "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," all our sins and griefs to bear. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. He's the one who is the real friend, who will stick closer than a brother. And that Jesus is always here with us. May the good Lord bless us as we come before this table and hold on to that friend who will never let us go, and take part in this communion, that it will be a blessing to us and to be that we can be a blessing to this world as we go from this place. The ushers will guide you as we take part in this communion. There is a laminated sheet in your pews. If you can take that and follow that with me. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful, we confess that we have, with our whole heart, we have failed to be an obedient church. We have done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join in their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself for us, he took the bread, gave thanks to you, and broke the bread and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, and gave it to his disciples and said, drink from this, all of you. This is the blood of my new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and drink. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, with your Holy Church, our honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Please come forward and take part in this table. This is an open table. Our church believes in open table. So please come. All are welcome. Has done for us so that we could become close friends with you, that we become part of your kingdom. Thank you for the health and strength you have given us to gather in your name and take part in this communion. Help us to be a blessing to this world, to bring the witness of love and peace to this world as we go from this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we come to the closing hymn, we will be singing What a Friend We Have in Jesus. After that, we will have benedictions and blessings, and then we'll have a postlude where we'll be singing God Be With You, verse 1 and chorus. So let us stand for What a Friend We Have in Jesus, 526. after the benediction, there will be another song. It is 672. We'll sing verse 1 and the chorus. So as people of God, go from this place. If you are feeling lonely or isolated, take heart that Jesus is a friend. Reach out to Jesus. Talk to him in prayer. And go meditate on the word. There we will find peace and joy because God is going to be there with you. May the grace of our Lord Jesus, love of the Heavenly Father, and the everlasting comfort and fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you now and forevermore. Amen. God be with you till we meet again. By his counsels guide us.
Have a blessed week.